The Bible says that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Does that mean that you need to go to church on Saturday? It's in the Bible. Jesus did that, yes, but it does not apply to you because there is a right way to interpret the Bible. Every other way is a misinterpretation. That's what Paul means when he says, study to show yourself a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is actually a right way to interpret the Quran, and here is the right way. Three simple rules. If a common concept about Islam contradicts something that Muhammad said according to the Islamic tradition known as the Hadith, then you follow what Muhammad said about Islam to be the truth about Islam and not the common concept. For example, if this whole community in Susquehanna Valley says that Islam is violent, and you find out that Muhammad said that Islam is peace, then you must conclude that Islam is peace, and everyone who uses the name of Islam for violent is not a true Muslim, because it is Muhammad who decides what Islam is all about, not the common people. Rule number two. If something that Muhammad said according to the Islamic tradition known as the Hadith contradicts a Quran passage, then you follow what the Quran says to be the truth about Islam and not what Muhammad said. Because the Quran has the authority over the Hadith. The Quran is one book three times bigger than the New Testament, believed by Muslims to be the word of God. The Hadith is not one book. It's a whole collection of volumes and volumes of things that Muslims believe that Muhammad said, traditionally said, as opposed to the Quran, which is the word of God. Also, all Muslims believe in the same Quran. The Quran is a solid book. It has never been altered ever since it was standardized by this third successor of Muhammad. All Muslims believe in the same Quran. Not all Muslims believe in the same groups of the Hadith. Rule number three. If a Quran passage contradicts another Quran passage, then you follow the Quran passage that came in a chronologically later time to be the truth about Islam and not the earlier part, and that is according to the Quranic doctrine known as abrogation. Later Quran passages supersede or abrogate earlier Quran passages. Apply these three simple rules and let's see what the Quran or Islam says about 10 specific myths. First, by the way, before we go there, it is important to put in mind that the Islam that Muhammad started when he first claimed to be a prophet at the age of 40 was not the same Islam that Muhammad ended up with when he died at the age of 62. When Muhammad first started, do you remember from our first class? People around him believed that a prophet will come, the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. They did not believe that Jesus was that prophet. They said, well, he still did not come yet. They believed that the law of Moses is still valid. They did not believe in the sufficiency of the scriptures. So Muhammad came and said, hey, I received a vision from God. Guess what? I am a prophet. When Muhammad first started to claim to be a prophet, he did not introduce a new religion. If you read the earlier surahs or chapters of the Quran, Muhammad did not introduce a new religion. He just called Arabs to, quote, submit to God, to renounce idolatry, and to worship God. Islam literally means submission. Later on, a decade later, Muhammad introduced Islam as a separate religion when he introduced a new kosher law that is different than the Jewish kosher law. He said in Surah 6 in the Standard Quran, which, by the way, the Quran is not arranged in a chronological order. So the first chapter that Muhammad claimed to have received from God is not chapter 1. It is chapter 96. And the surah number 6 or chapter number 6 was actually delivered as the 55th chapter in the Quran. This is common knowledge among Muslims and secular scholars. You can go online and search the Quran in a chronological order. And that helps you find a theme to the inconsistency of the Quran. That's when Muhammad introduced, literally he said, Jews have this law. I received another law that said, and the only difference was camels. He said, camels are not kosher. I say that camels are kosher. At that time, Islam was introduced as a separate religion, was still tolerant to the rest of the Abrahamic faiths, Christianity and Judaism. And the Quran actually said that Muslims and Jews and Christians, they all go to heaven. It was after the hijrah, the migration, this solid line, that Muhammad introduced Islam as the only way to God. He said, it's not good anymore that you continue to be Christians or Jews. You have to convert to Islam. And he started to wage war against anyone who does not convert to Islam. By the way, he did not plan all that. Muhammad was not a planner. The reason why Muhammad delivered the violent passages was he wanted to fight those who persecuted him and his followers. What better way to mobilize a whole community than to tell them, God wants you to go to war. And he delivered passages, and those passages are in the Quran today. The first myth when people say that Islam is a religion of peace. By the way, Islam does not mean peace. It means submission. It sounds like the Arabic word for peace, salam, but linguistically does not have anything to do with at all. Let's see what the Quran says about that. By the way, some people will say, oh, well, our government needs to hear that. Republican, Democrat, two presidents of two radically different extremes of the political spectrum said the exact same thing. Were they lying? Did they not know about Islam? Of course they knew. But these are chief executives in charge of running a nation. It's not their job to tell people about the truth, about the faith. It's your job. The Quran says in chapter 8, verse 60, by the way, the most violent chapters in the Quran are surahs 8 and 9. Prepare against them whatever force you can and the trained horses whereby you frighten, literally terrorize. The same technical word in Arabic for terrorism is used in this passage. Not a single English translation says that. Because usually the Quran is translated by Muslim scholars. And they do not want you, the Western people who do not know Arabic, to see that the Quran tells Muslims to be terrorists. Chapter 8, verse 39. Fight them until persecution is no more and the religion is all for Allah. This is the great commission in the Quran. Fight until the whole world converts to Islam. Chapter 9, verse 5, kill the polytheists. Who are the polytheists? Anyone who worships more than one God. We have studied that Muslims do not believe that Jesus is God. So, because we worship Jesus, they think that we are worshiping more than one God, which makes us polytheists, which makes us victims of this passage. Wherever you find them and catch them, and besiege them, and sit in ambush for them everywhere. Do you remember 2 years ago when there was an ISIS propaganda video that people responded to and they started to kill the service members? The video was actually based on this passage. Chapter 47, verse 4. When you encounter those who disbelieve, then aim at smiting the necks. Once again, Muhammad did not, well, He was unlikely to have intended for Islam to be this violent. But because in a specific situation, in a specific war, he wanted Muslims to join him in war, he delivered this passage. And now there is only one way to handle the Quran. And that is to say that the Quran tells you to behead every non-Muslim. Chapter 9, verse 36. Fight the polytheists all together as they fight you all together. And that's why terrorists don't have any conscience against blowing a car bomb in the middle of a grocery store that has women and children and elderly, because the Quran tells them to fight the polytheists all together. Myth number two, Islam disrespects women. Well, guess what? That's true. The Quran says in chapter 2 and verse 228, this passage regulates the division of properties between a man and his wife when they get, divorced. Divorce is very easy in Islam. This is another example of separating the religion from the people. The Christian faith is very strict against divorce. The Islamic faith is very easy on divorce. And yet, the predominantly Christian Western world has more divorce cases than the predominantly Muslim world because of social factors. Women have rights similar to what they owe in recognized manner about the properties after the divorce. And just in case somebody misinterprets this passage to say that women are equal to men, the Quran clarifies, though for men there is a step above them. The Quran says that women are inferior to men, as opposed to the Bible that says, in Christ there is neither male nor female. Chapter 4, verse 34. As for women of whom you fear rebellion, and rebellion can be going to the grocery store without asking her husband's permission, convince them, that's the first stage, leave them apart in beds, and then beat them. The Quran tells Muslim men actually to beat up their wives, just as the Bible tells Christian men to love their wives, just as Christ loved the church and died for her. Myth number three, Muhammad is a prophet of God. Well, Muhammad claims to be a prophet of God. What is a prophet? That's the second definition of the word prophet. What is the technical first original definition of the word prophet? What's that? Yes. Somebody who prophesies. A prophet is somebody who prophesies. Anyone who brings a message, like you said, foretells a prophet either foretells whatever will happen in the future, or somebody who tells forth the truth of God. And anyone that has a message from God has to be empowered by a miracle. Paul said, I am an apostle, and here is my sign. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance through signs and miracles and mighty deeds. In chapter 7, verse 188, Muhammad, who claims to be a prophet, says, if I had the knowledge of the unseen, I would have accumulated a lot of good things. Basically, Muhammad says, if I were a prophet, I would have gone to Las Vegas. Muhammad says, I cannot foretell the future. In the second passage, Muhammad says, I cannot do miracles. Chapter 17, verses 90 on, people said, we will not believe in you until you do a miracle. And they gave him a whole list. We shall never believe in you unless you cause a spring to gush forth for us from the earth, or you have a garden of date palms and grapes. And the list goes on and on. Muhammad is told to say, I proclaim the purity of my Lord. I am nothing but human, a messenger. Oh, that's why we should believe in Matthew as an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ, somebody who communicated with God because he did miracles. Mark 16:20, the apostles of Christ went and preached the gospel everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the message with the accompanying signs. Muhammad did not have signs.